Well, good morning and welcome. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. I greet each one of you in the precious name of Jesus, and I also ask interest in your prayers as I humbly stand before you this morning. I believe the burden of the Lord for the message this morning is a question first for myself and also for each one of you, and that is the question we'd like to answer this morning in today's message, and that is Jesus enough? As we think of all the turmoil that is in the world today, we could think of the many war-torn areas. We think of what's going on over in Israel. We could think of Ukraine, Russia, many places, and the much war and the much turmoil that we see happening in those parts of the world. And we could ask ourselves, if I was found in that situation, if I was lived there and everything I'd worked for was torn apart, was blown to bits, you might say, or people I loved were taken away from me, could I still say Jesus is enough? As we think of the recent storms that came through and washed away many people's houses, their businesses, we were just recently down to Georgia and all the trees, you know, they're no respecter of houses or buildings or vehicles or anything like that, just all over the place. And yeah, just so much stuff down in the little town there, Waynesboro. People would have the stuff cleaned out of their yard, and they would have it piled along the streets there for being waiting to pick up. But yeah, trees here, trees there, trees everywhere, it seemed. You know, if something like that happened to me and I was left with nothing, could I still say, or could I be joyful in helping others and still say, Jesus is enough? And on that note, as far as the Georgia, I believe I was supposed to send thanks back to the different ones of y'all who offered and gave us food we could take down there. Thank you, each one of you that helped out in that. We could think of sudden illness or sudden death. If sudden illness or sudden death came to my family or somebody close to me, could I rest in the fact that God is still good and that Jesus is enough? And we're right around the corner here from, I guess, what most people think is a major election. If who I think or who I would think would be a good candidate, if they lose and the outlook for our country seems a little bleak, could I still say that Jesus is enough? So as we think of life and its many hard twists and turns sometimes, and we find ourselves in the midst of hard circumstances, can we still say through those times that Jesus is enough? That is the question we want to find an answer for this morning. Is Jesus enough? You can take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 10. We'll be looking here at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, and also 25, verses 25 through verse 30. As we go through here, we want to see if Jesus is enough. John chapter 10, starting in verse 1, says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his sheep, his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Dropping down to verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We just thank you so much for your word that we can read and we can look at. And we just thank you for the beautiful pictures in Scripture we can see of Jesus as a shepherd leading his sheep. And we just pray that we would have our hearts open to hear a word from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we think of John chapter 10 here, we can get a glimpse of the background of this passage if we go into chapter 9, as we see the story of how Jesus had healed the man that was blind, and how in that blind man's simple faith, he had believed in Jesus, and as he went out and tried to witness to the people there of what Jesus had done, and to the Jews and the Pharisees there, they also ended up casting him out of the synagogue because of that simple faith he had and the trust in the one that had opened his eyes. And if you go to chapter 9 there, verse 40, we see Jesus' response, or the Pharisees there. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you would have no sin, but now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. So chapter 10 comes, it seems, as a response to chapter 9, possibly. I'm not sure, but maybe this was Jesus' response to how this blind man who was blind, how he had believed on Jesus and how they had kicked him out, so to speak, cast him out of the synagogue because of his faith in Jesus. Maybe this was Jesus' contrast. This was Jesus' message to the people as he contrasted how he was as a good shepherd and how he takes care of the sheep. So as we go through this passage, what I want to encourage you with this morning is the fact that Jesus gives abundant life. So learn to know and follow him. And the 4 points I want to look at from this passage this morning are Jesus, who does he say he is? Jesus, what does he say he does? Jesus, who he is not? And Jesus, who we can follow. So thinking of Jesus, who does he say he is? In this passage here, we see that Jesus says he is the door. He is the good shepherd. He is the Son of God. We go to verse 7 and verse 9. Where Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. How is Jesus the door? We can think of the door as something that opens up into a new area. So we think of all the different kinds of doors, being in the garage door business. We think of doors a lot of times of maybe opening up and giving access to a new area. You know, there's doors that block things off. There's doors that open up to somewhere else we want to go. There's doors that partition places. But as we think of Jesus being the door, he is the way to the Father. As we think of him being the entrance by which we can experience salvation. And as we think of Jesus, he is the only way that we can enter into a right relationship with the Father. There is no other way that we can do that, but only through Jesus. He is that door we must enter through. We also could think of doors as blocking off, doors giving us security from the outside, from the elements, from the dangers, from the harms, and the many things that could hinder us as we are inside that sheepfold. That Jesus is the door. He is that entrance, but also once we are in the sheepfold, it can be a sense of security. It can be a sense of help for us to be in the sheepfold and not have to experience the dangers and the harm that could get to us from the outside. Turn with me to John chapter 14, verse 6. Familiar verse here where Jesus was talking to Thomas. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's not another door that we can get through that'll take us to the Father. It is only through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Here, Peter and John had got arrested here, and Peter, verse 8, was filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, talking about Jesus Christ, he referenced in verse 10, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So we see here Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, was preaching that there is no other name among men whereby we must be saved. It is only through Jesus. He is that door. He is that access to the Father. Also, another scripture on that is Romans 5, verses 1 through 2. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. By Jesus, we have this access into grace. First one there, it's through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 2, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. A few verses in Ephesians, I'll just read. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For through him, talking about Christ, we have both access by one Spirit unto the Father. So see again, the access that we have through Jesus to the Father. Also in Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 20, say, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So thinking of Jesus, the door by which we may enter in and be saved, he has made a way for us. So thinking of Jesus, the good shepherd, how is Jesus a good shepherd? Verse 11, back to our text here in John chapter 10, verse 11 and 14. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. Verse 14, he says again, I am the good shepherd. We can think of Psalms 23, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. He can be a good shepherd for each one of us personally. He can be a good shepherd to me. He can be a good shepherd to you. As we think of us as mankind, sometimes in our much doings, our much going abouts, we can be stretched too thin. But that is not Jesus. He can be a good shepherd to everyone, to all of us. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. We can get a picture of this in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 40, verses 9 through 11. And I was 9 and 10, just kind of give us a context here before we get to verse 11. It says, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And we get to verse 11 and it seems like it changes tone. It says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them into his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. So we can see here, I believe, the tenderness, the gentleness of the shepherd who has the safety and the protection of the sheep in mind. If we go there to verse 11, he's going to feed, he's going to gather, and he's going to carry. And lastly, he's going to gently lead those that are with young. We see the compassion. We see the tenderness of our shepherd. Also, a few verses in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, verses 11 and 12, talking about God feeding his flock. Verse 11, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." We see here deliverance. No matter where you've been, no matter where you are today, Jesus is ready to deliver you from being a sheep that was lost or scattered. We see Jesus today, he's still that good shepherd. He's seeking out those that are lost and offering deliverance for those. Yeah, offering deliverance to those that are lost. And we can praise God for that today. He is still that good shepherd. He is seeking and saving those that are lost. And I believe if there ever was a time that we need a good shepherd in our lives today, it is now. We have the world that seems so geared to drawing us away. There's so many things that seem to want to take our attention to where we lose our focus and lose our way. So as we think of Jesus being our shepherd, he will seek us out and he will deliver us. So thinking of Jesus, the Son of God, back to our text, and we look at verses 15 through 18. John chapter 10, verses 15 through 18. We know Jesus was the Son of God, but even to the people that he was speaking to there, they could have been made aware of this by the way he talked to them about his Father and how he referenced the relationship he had with his Father. We can see him referencing being the Son of God by his referring to the Father. Verse 15, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father." A glimpse of the unity of their relationship. In many places, if you go through the book of John, of how he talks about his relationship with the Father. And we want to look at one of those places just back here, a few pages in John chapter 8, verses 28 through 29. Thinking of the relationship Jesus had as the Son, as he came here to the earth, the relationship he still had with the Father. John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Verse 28, he does nothing of himself. And then in verse 29, "I do always those things that please him." So just a beautiful relationship of Jesus when he came to this earth. He did not just, you know, strike out on his own, start his own following. But he came to the earth to do the will of the Father. And that was what he did. And such a beautiful picture of his relationship with the Father and the unity they had. He did nothing of himself, but it is always those things that please the Father. Verse 17 in our text, we can see the Father's love for the Son. He says, "Therefore doth my Father love me." Verse 18, we can see the obedience of the Son to the Father, where it says there, "This commandment have I received of my Father." In verse 25, we see the works of Jesus. He did them in the Father's name. He did not, like we talked about, he did not come to the earth to start his own journey, to start something that he wanted to do, but he did only those things that were the Father's will. And there was, I think, in the chronological Bible, verses 22 and following come a little later in the book, but it seemed, and maybe there's a little discussion on that, but it seems as though the way he was talking here seems to be referencing back to what he spoke earlier in the chapter. In verse 30, it sums this up, and he says, "I and my Father are one." So as we looked at Jesus being the door, he is our access to the Father, the good shepherd, he is our leader, and the Son of God who came to do the Father's will. Let's remember that these things can only come from Jesus as we think of experiencing the abundant life that he offers and learning to know and follow him. So Jesus, what does he say he does? Verse 3 in our text, he calls his own sheep by name. It sounds like a shepherd that knows his sheep. He desires a close, he desires an intimate relationship with each one of his sheep. And I believe we still have a shepherd who is calling to his sheep, longing for those that are lost and in need of a Savior to come to him and find rest in his care. He wants a relationship with each one of you, and he wants a relationship with me. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, familiar verses here. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus' words here, I will give you rest. We have a shepherd that is wanting to give us rest from the cares of this life and from the labors. Psalms 23, verse 2 talks of a shepherd who is taking us to green pastures, to still waters. We have a shepherd that is wanting to lead his people to places where they can thrive, where they can experience peace and joy and find a fulfilling life. Verse 4 in our text talks about him going before his sheep, giving the thought of going ahead and scouting ahead and looking for the dangerous pitfalls, the areas that may be a problem and experiences that would hinder the life of the sheep. What kind of leader would not warn his people of trouble or danger ahead? And we could think of all kinds of stories. You could think of leading animals. You could think of taking a hike up a mountain and somebody in the front not telling the people behind, you know, the dangers. Maybe there's a hole, there's a loose rock that might slide off the mountain or things like that. We can think of Jesus as he goes before his sheep, as he charts a course, you might say, and as he goes ahead of us to help us avoid some of those things that may hinder us in life. Turn to Psalms 121, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this day forth, and even forevermore. Who is the Lord going to preserve? It says thee. He wants to preserve us. What is he preserving us from? It says all evil. What is he preserving? He is preserving our soul there in verse 7. In verse 8, he's preserving our, you could say, our daily life, our going in and our coming out. And what kind of time frame is on this? It says from now till forever. Even forevermore, ends there in verse 8. I believe this describes the good shepherd we can follow and shows us the kind of abundant life that we can have through him. Jesus gives his life for the sheep. He not only gives life, he gives abundant life. And we know the familiar verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You can turn with me to 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12. 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12 say, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Very simple wording there. The life we can have through the Son. We can see the opposite in the world today. The people we rub shoulders with, maybe the people we work with, our friends and neighbors, just the lack of life that they may have, or the problems they have in life and the peace that they lack. But we see here the life is in the Son, and if we have the Son, we have life. But if we have not the Son, we do not have life. 1 John 3:16 say, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He laid down his own life so that we could have life. Also, a verse in Galatians 1, verse 4 says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father." So he gave himself for our sins so he could do what? So he could deliver us. And what is he delivering us from? He's delivering us from this present evil world. And he was doing this by the will of the Father. Jesus has given us his life. He has given us what we need to live an abundant life, a life that has no want. Verse in Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." God will supply all our needs. Also in John 6, verse 35, where Jesus talks about, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Also in John 4, where he talks about drinking of the water that he would give, "The water that I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Jesus sustains the life of his children. He does not leave us. He does not bring us to salvation and leave us there. He sustains the lives of his children. So how about you this morning? Are you experiencing that life that Jesus can give? He alone can give us what we need to live a victorious Christian life. What does Jesus say he does? He gives life so that we might have life. So thinking again of Jesus giving abundant life, so learn to know and follow him. Let's look for a minute in our text at Jesus, who he isn't. It has a few verses here that talks about who Jesus is not. Jesus is not a stranger to his own. We can think of the definition of a stranger as someone that is unknown or unfamiliar. In contrast, Jesus knows his sheep and they know him, and they turn to their shepherd. They have turned their ears to his voice and to his call in their lives. Again, in Ephesians, we looked at, through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Am I keeping my ears tuned to Jesus so I know his voice? I'm not being lured away by the stranger or the thief. With what Jesus has done, he has made a way to the Father, and we are no more strangers. Jesus is not a stranger to his sheep. Thinking of a thief, what does a thief do? He sneaks in when no one is paying attention. He takes, he does not give. Jesus is not a thief. He is not a robber. He is not there to take. He is there to give. There may be those that want to come in another way and try to take advantage of the sheep and not have the care of the sheep in their mind. But a thief is only there to kill and to steal and to destroy. Nothing good will come out of a thief or a robber's reign over the sheep. Only sure destruction and loss of life. And I believe in this we can see the importance of following Jesus, the true shepherd of the sheep, and not allowing those that would try to come in and steal and kill and lead us astray. Let those be our God. We do not want those to be our God. We can see the importance of not following those. We can see the contrast of Jesus giving life, but the thieves and the robbers only taking life. As we think of another thing that Jesus isn't, he is not a hireling. He will not leave us when danger arrives. We think of the verse, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." He will be there in the midst of the storm. He will be our anchor. He will be our rock, our sure foundation in the time of trouble. We do not have to fear. He will be there. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. It says, "And the Lord, he it is that goeth before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." He will not fail us. He will not forsake us, so we do not have to fear. We do not have to be dismayed. In Matthew 28, verse 20, We think of the end of the Great Commission, where he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So Jesus, even as he was ready to leave this world, he was letting his followers know that he would be with them even unto the end of the world. Back to our text in verse 12. It says, the hireling does not care for the sheep. But in sharp contrast, in verse 14, we see Jesus as the good shepherd that knows his sheep, and his sheep know him, a picture of the care the shepherd can give that no one else can come close to giving. So we think of the selfishness of the hireling. So when he sees danger, he leaves. But we think of Jesus, the good shepherd, he gives his life, the selflessness of the good shepherd versus the selfishness of the hireling. So as we looked at who Jesus is not, we can praise God that Jesus gives abundant life and not destruction, so we can learn to know and follow him. And Jesus, who we can follow, why can we follow Jesus? Verse 4, go to verse 4 in our text. Verse 4 in our text says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We can follow him. Well, let me start over. Why do we follow him? The sheep, it says, follow him because they know his voice. We can follow Jesus with a faith and confidence because what it says right before that in verse 4, it says, the middle of the verse, it says, he goeth before them. Jesus goes before us, giving us direction, showing us the way. Life can get hard sometimes, but when we don't know which way to go, we may be down in a valley, so to speak, and we don't know which way to go, but we can trust the shepherd to give us guidance as we look to him for his direction as he leads us through those valleys of life, and he can bring us safely through to the other side. We can also follow Jesus because of what it says in verse 9. As we enter through that door and as we experience salvation, it then talks about going in and out and finding pasture. We think of the blessings, the fullness of life we can experience as we allow our lives to be directed by the shepherd. Such a beautiful picture when it talks about going in and out and finding pasture. What does that mean? I believe that speaks of peace. It speaks of having everything we need. It speaks of having a life we cannot find outside of Jesus Christ. And we may have mentioned this before, but we can see it all around us. The people we work with, the people not living in the peace that Jesus gives, not living, not experiencing that abundant life that only Jesus can live. Their lives are in a wreck, and as they face problem after problem, and we can just pray that God will give us grace to, as we try to help them, as we try to witness to them, and most of all, may our lives be those that show that we are experiencing that abundant life that Jesus gives. I believe that can be a great way to show others. If we ourselves are experiencing that as we witness to others. We'll look quick at Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. Isaiah 58, verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. We see here the guidance. The Lord shall guide thee continually. We see the satisfaction. It says here, then we can see, it says, make fat thy bones. We can think of the fatness or the extra, we could say. And it shall be like a water garden whose waters fail not. The continual nourishment that will not fail. We can see this through what Jesus provides. Verse in Psalms 103, verse 5, talks about who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, a renewed strength, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles, that renewal that we can experience. We follow Jesus because of the great love he had for his sheep and the willingness he had to lay down his life for the sheep. And we could look at John chapter 6, verse 68, where Peter was there, and he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is that our experience this morning? where we, like Peter, could say, where else could we go to experience the life that Jesus gives? Verse 16, back in our text, we follow Jesus because he is a shepherd for all the sheep. No one is left out. We think of John 3:16 again. It's for whosoever believes. Verse 16 there, the way I understand this verse, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and there shall be one shepherd. John 3:16 again, for it's for whosoever believes, salvation for all mankind. A verse in 1 John 4, verse 14 says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So thinking of Jesus being a Savior for the whole world. Also, Romans 3, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ unto all and upon all, then that believe, for there is no difference. Again, we see it's unto all and upon all that believe. Verse 1 Timothy, talking about who gave himself, talking about Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So again, we see how he gave himself a ransom for all. We can follow Jesus because he leads us to eternal life. Verse 28 in our text says, I give unto them eternal life. But I note that the gift of eternal life comes from that relationship with Jesus, where we are listening to the voice of Jesus, our shepherd, and he knows us and we follow him. And in turn, he offers a reward of eternal life where we will never perish. But I want to look at three verses here, three different verses that speak of, I think you could say it speaks of action on our part, where it speaks of a continual following the shepherd as we anticipate eternal life. The first one in James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. It speaks there of enduring temptation. It speaks of receiving a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised. But first it says, blessed is that man that endureth temptation. The action we see there. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. It says, there's a crown of righteousness that we shall be given, but it's unto all them that love his appearing. It speaks of action there, of loving there. And also in Revelation 3, verse 11. This was the word to the one of the churches there in Revelation 3, verse 11. It was the words of the Lord to the church of Philadelphia here. It says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So we go back up to verse 8. Prior to that, he says, and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. I take from these verses that it takes a continual relationship with Jesus Christ, where we heed his voice and we follow him, where we endure temptation, we love him and keep his word, and we hold fast to what we know. For those is promised eternal life. And we can praise God for that this morning. That if we are faithful to him and as we allow, we can follow him continually. As we follow the shepherd, there is eternal life promised. So in conclusion, we have thought about who Jesus is. He is our access to the Father. What he does, he gives abundant life. We thought about who he is not. He isn't a thief that brings destruction. And why we can follow him, he will lead us to eternal life. What is your response to Jesus? Are you hearing and knowing the voice of Jesus? I want to look at, in our text there, verses 19, some of the verses we skipped over, verses 19 through 21. It says, there was division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear you him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And also the last verse in that chapter, and many believed on him that were there. It just seems so many times in Jesus' ministry, maybe you could say all the time, as Jesus walked the earth and as he ministered, he always seemed that his ministry got a response. Either people rejected him and his message, or they gladly received him and believed on him. So to answer our question we started out with this morning, is Jesus enough for you? Are you satisfied with the abundant life that only he can give? If every earthly thing you counted important was taken away, could you still, like Job, say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord"? I believe Jesus is enough for me. I believe that if hard times come and life goes the complete opposite from where I think it should, Jesus would see me through. He has been with me in the past, and I'm convinced this morning that he will be with me in the future as I trust his leading in my life. Jesus promises life. He promises abundant life. And no matter where you find yourself this morning, Jesus is there waiting for you to hear his voice and follow him. And I want to read verses 9 through 11 again in our text here this morning. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I believe we see in these verses that Jesus is enough. Maybe you do not know Jesus this morning, or maybe you have not been experiencing the abundant life he offers. I invite you this morning to come to Jesus. Do not wait. He is waiting for you, and he wants to have a relationship with you this morning. So my encouragement this morning simply is that Jesus gives abundant life, so learn to know and follow him. May God richly bless each one of you here this morning. We'll call for a song.